We live in a world where change and uncertainty seem to be the rule. People are looking for some type of security, some way to feel safe. Some have opted for gated communities. Some have opted for security from guards, if you can afford such a thing, or security from carrying firearms. We have sirens for weather emergencies and cell phone notifications for things going on in the neighborhood that go off at the worst possible times. The problem is that these give us a sense of personal safety, but they only address the physical challenges that we face in this world. The problem is these things can't deter our most dangerous enemies. These enemies aren't interested in our money, in our jewelry, in our furniture, or even killing the physical body. You see, the most dangerous enemies are those who want to steal our souls, to own us, to control us, to manipulate our minds, to make us their slaves. They want our children, and they'll kidnap them right before our eyes. And we're not talking physically, necessarily, but they take them, take their hearts, their minds, right before our eyes. You see, in a society saturated with media and social internet connections, the enemy can creep into our homes, laughing at locks on doors. They show up in schools and on college campuses. They're promoted on public television and pushed by those in authority. They falsely promote themselves under the label of freedom. But they're setting traps for the unsuspecting with things like sexual promiscuity, drug use, gambling, and the rejection of anything of a religious nature in favor of humanism and evolutionary doctrine. They push one set of rules for others, but adhere to different standards for their own conduct. You see, it's commonplace to see things like, on this day, 300 million years ago, Diplodocus was going through the jungle looking for his food. You see things like that. How do we know? Who was there 300 million years ago, and how do we even know it was 300 million years ago? We don't. Because a rock dated 300 million years ago that was found inside another layer that dated 300 million years ago. And yet, when it comes right back to it, no one knows the date of any of it because none of it was reliable. And yet these things are taught to our children as if normal. And then when they hear that God created the earth in 7 days, they say, well, that's not what I was told. I was told that 300 million years ago this happened or that happened. You see, it's up to us who name the name of Jesus to take action and to protect ourselves and our families as well as our nation against those who are determined to destroy us. And the way to do this is to take the words of the Lord found in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 very seriously. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." While these words were spoken to the nation of Israel as they were preparing to enter the promised land, they apply to us today, the Israel of God, the church. They and we are told not just to listen to the words of God and to file them away, but to remember them, to teach them, demonstrate them in our lives. And when he says in verses 8 through 9, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, it's like a security sign outside the home today, protected by such and such. But it is a security that goes beyond locks and deadbolts. You see, in Israel today, we still find those who make and wear little boxes called phylacteries on their foreheads or their arms. You can see on the picture an ancient phylactery and a modern one. They're still there. They've just changed materials, changed forms. But it had become merely a show rather than a dedication to God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23:5. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. And when it came to writing them on the doorposts, the Jewish person would make a box called a mezuzah to put on their door frames. It contained verses from Deuteronomy. They would attach it at eye level on the right side of the door frame so that they could see it and be reminded every time they went into or out of their homes. But the command here involves more than little boxes on ourselves or in our houses. It involves writing those things on our hearts and living them out. This is where we find the power to counteract the pagan, humanistic, worldly ideas that are continually trying to enter our minds and our homes. You see, God doesn't want a Bible stuck away somewhere on a shelf or on display on a coffee table or filed away somewhere for future reference. God doesn't want a dusty Bible sitting somewhere. You see, he wants his word to be the rule of our lives, to be present in the hearts and minds of his people. The Lord said that his new covenant would not be on tablets of stone, but written on hearts. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And we do need security for our lives. You see, common sense is devalued and in favor of political correctness and wokeness. Sin is called a civil right. Killing a baby is called a choice. Perversion is celebrated as inclusivity. And those who stand for truth are called hateful and homophobic. So what are we to do? First, we must realize what's happening. We need to talk about it with our spouse, with your children. Recognize there are things in our home right now that need to be addressed and removed before they threaten the family. As it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. It may be video games, TV programs, internet sites that are available, even the influence of friends. Whatever it is that's getting in the way, that's causing things to go downhill, that's drawing away from their relationship with Christ. We need to get whatever we need to counteract those things. The Lord has promised his help and presence in our lives if we will just put the word into practice. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scriptures God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants his words constantly in our minds and hearts. He wants a home where parents work together to eliminate ignorance about God, both by teaching the truth and by living those words out in full view of the children. Note the warning in Acts 17. Peter said, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. This is Paul speaking, by the way, not Peter. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And also the instruction in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. You see, one of the main reasons most people don't know much about God and his word is that he's not their priority. They spend hours being entertained by the media that comes into our homes and have no time or effort spent toward reading or studying God's word. We turn on the ball game, but cannot even turn on Zoom lessons from church during the week. The church is to teach how to live for God, and if we do not listen to our Savior's instructions, how can we expect to know what is required of us as the family of God? You see, Paul told the Colossians, he said, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, we are responsible for teaching the truth. If we do not, we will be held responsible, as in Ezekiel 3:18. It says, when I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, They will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they will die for their sin. The righteous things that person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. You see, parents need to take the lead. Talk to children, even grown children, about what is happening in society today. Their peers are definitely talking to them about it, and they're listening. They're listening very closely. If you find yourself addicted to TV or checking your phone every minute, break the habit. Do whatever it takes to prevent yourself and those around you from becoming a slave to the propaganda coming into your home. Turn it off. Shut it down. It's possible. It really is. But the most important security item we can have is our day-to-day relationship with Jesus Christ. Those enemies we face are so powerful that we cannot withstand them without the help promised to us by our Father. If you're not a Christian, come to Jesus and obey his words, and you'll receive the Helper, the Holy Spirit, promised in Acts 2:38. Or it says to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Promises for you and your children and all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Filling your home and your mind with the word of God can change your life and transform your mind. If a visitor comes into your home, can they tell if it is a place where those who are dedicated to Christ live? Can they tell that by what they see or do not see there? We must repent of indifference, of time wasted in activities that really have no lasting meaning. Whatever fills your mind will become your standard, be either the word of God or the reasoning and imagination of man. When you lock your doors at night, have you also locked out the enemies of your soul? Have you obeyed the words of Jesus? Have you believed that he is God's son and the sacrifice, and they made the sacrifice for your sins? Have you repented of those sins that made his death on the cross necessary? Have you confessed your faith and trust in his cleansing blood shed on the cross and begin the process of writing his laws and commands on your mind? Have you been baptized, immersed in water to contact the blood of Jesus and wash away your sins? Acts 22:16. Now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, was asked in his old age, how is John Quincy Adams today? He replied, John Quincy Adams is fine, thank you, but he must find a new home soon. This old one leaks badly, and the foundation is undermined, but John Quincy Adams is fine. You see, Paul stated the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5. It said, for we know if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Excuse me. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Are you looking for that new home? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Whatever your need this morning, whatever you're struggling with, whatever we can help with, won't you come this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?